Hello.
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 Hello Adorn presents
Jewelry and Stuff,
a podcast about jewelry
and almost everything else.
Adorners. No, that's no good. Hello heads? No. Okay, no bad ideas in brainstorming. Welcome back to Jewelry and Stuff. Lo and I are back to talk Hello Adorn, jewelry, BTS, and anything else. And as always, don't forget to head down to hellodorn.com for all that good. And I'm talking about jewelry good. Anklet season is here, for example, and Jess has come to play. And by that, I mean there are a bunch of great new anklets and plenty of other stuff. This week, Lo and I talked to me? Well, this is embarrassing, but yeah, it had to happen eventually. So we talked to me, Lo kind of interviews me, and we talk about my and Cass, my wife, our time living in New Zealand, how I came to know Adam and Jess, and then started dipping my toe in the Hello Adorn waters. Plus, we talk about the jewelry that Cass and I, mainly Cass, is vibing with right now, plus news from HQ, and, you know, lots of other stuff. So no surprise, Lo runs a great interview. It was lots of fun, and yeah, all the fun you can come to expect. So let's dive in. Enjoy Jewelry and Stuff.
Hello, listeners, dear listeners, welcome back to the pod. We've missed you. It's been a week. When I don't talk to you, I don't know what to do with myself. You might be wondering, is Lo doing this show alone? And you might be panicking on my behalf. I'm panicking on my behalf. A show on my own? Can you imagine the freedom? Where we would go? Where we would take this? Dare to dream someday. I'm just kidding. I can never do this out without my part two. And I will explain what's going on right now. We're about to do an episode that tens of you have been begging for. Absolutely begging. Honestly, one of you asked, I guess, and we both listened. So we're doing it now. Our guest today, truly the brains and fuel behind this entire operation. I could not imagine doing this without this person. A co-host that in the pod community, some might call a dream co-host. This guy knows just enough to be dangerous and ask all the right questions. A heart so big, when he asks how you are, you know he truly means it. A humor so rich. SNL actually approached him about becoming a writer, and he said, no, thank you. The pod is my destiny. A family so beautiful, you might think they're all just paid actors and actresses. An aesthetic so refined, you'll be begging him to release affiliate links, and he won't. Some call him the Tom Brady lookalike. Some. Fueled by flat whites, the perfect record spinning, and all the necessary context. Turns page. A very important member of the HA cast. Does so much for this place. Quiet. Out there, quiet. Does so much for this place and commands so little attention and praise. A wealth of knowledge so deep whenever any of us are stumped. Oftentimes, the first answer is, let's see if Rich knows. Drop everything, folks, and reach for the popcorn. I'm about to introduce to your double-pierced ears, Rich Porter! Welcome!
Okay, the urgency of the rebuttal podcast just went up for me, like, to the top of my list.
No.
Because I've got notes.
No. No. Just take it,
90% of that was incorrect or untrue or wildly exaggerated. And the other 10% I forgot.
But SNL did approach you.
Yeah. They sure did, but only in those years, you know, where they had the really bad cast. When Lauren left.
They were pretty desperate.
They were really desperate.
They were taking anyone at that point.
Yeah. That's right. So,
Rich, the time is now. It's finally the Hello Rich podcast. How are you feeling?
Yeah, fine. Just fine. I mean that in not great, not bad, just fine.
Kind of middle of the road. Just
fine. Yeah, middle of the road. No, it's, yeah. That's fine.
Cool.
Tens of people have not been asking. I don't even think one person. I think that was maybe you, but okay.
I've been asking. I've been begging for this. And this is actually our second time doing this.
That's true. And how exactly to explain, how about the amount of time it's taking me just to say this part? That's part of why we had to re-record. When we stopped recording, we were at about 2 hours and 30 minutes, and we had not finished what we had prepared to do.
We're going to call that one the dress rehearsal.
Yeah, yeah. And lots of, to go back to SNL, lots got cut at dress. Lots got cut at dress, okay?
We really took a few things out. We're paring it down. But we are, once again, going to start from the very beginning. Rich, you were born?
In, I was born, yes.
In December?
In December, yes.
Yes, winter.
On the 28th of December. That's right. That's if in the Northern Hemisphere, that's winter. That's right.
It took, the fact that you just said the 28th on the pod, it took us so long to get Rich's actual birth date out of him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's one that's of those true. Birthday gatekeepers that allegedly doesn't want anyone to praise him on his birthday. No,
that's not it either. It's just like, you know, we can cruise by. We can cruise on by. Plus, and just to be fair, what Hello Adorn, I know it's pared down a little bit and there's a system in place now, but what you guys used to do for people's birthdays, you can understand why a person might want to just slide through. I mean, like, remember what happened on Kimmy's birthday?
Oh.
Where, yeah, of course you do, because you were part of the production. And I mean, it's
cardboard
it's a cutout prospect.
Of Kimmy went, spent a day on the town with
traveled
Jess.
All over Eau Claire. Yeah. I mean, it was wild. So anyway, you'll excuse me to just want to just cruise on through.
On my notes, I wrote, ask Rich his birthday. And I'd allowed 10 seconds for that response. And in true Rich fashion, about a minute, 10 times what I was expecting. So
better than normal. Better than normal.
We've got a lot of good content here today. Very excited to hear the...
Are there dogs? Are there dogs in the studio today?
Yes, we have two dogs. We have...
Wagon Wednesday.
We've got Jax, Savannah's dog, and then Nala, Savannah's foster dog for the week that she is watching.
Last time we didn't acknowledge a dog that could be heard on the microphone, we got in big trouble. So I just want to make sure the
dogs are acknowledged.
It's not Gilly this time. It's other dogs. Wagon Wednesday, dogs come into the studio, etc.
Rich, we're going to start with your origin story, kind of a little window of how you came to be. And then we're going to talk about your transition into Hello Adorn, how you met Justin Adam, and then present day. Yeah. And then we've got like, I don't know, 20, 30 questions after that we'll do lightning round that we want to hear your honest truth.
Yeah. So definitely shouldn't be any more than 4 hours this time. So the re-record longer than the original.
A 5 hour episode. Would you listen to it? Liz, this question is for you. Would you listen to a 5 hour episode? Liz, this morning I got in, she already had her AirPods in. She was already listening to this week's episode. Talk about a dedicated fan.
Yeah. Not to give too much away about the timing of these things, but today where we are in our timeline, Lowe's episode came out and I'm not surprised. I think this is going to be one of our highest listens to date.
For the true fans, you already heard a little bit of Rich's background in our Mother's Day episode when we had his mom Elizabeth on the podcast, but give us a little childhood summary.
Yeah, so Atlanta, about 10 minutes out of downtown, nice little neighborhood, like got to, for the while, like bike to school. It was nice little spot, same house, whole life. Yeah, and Atlanta, I mean, is a great place. I love to visit it now. I haven't been back in a minute, but usually make it back once a year, which is, I mean, and right now Atlanta is the most fun place to visit it's ever been. It's just like, there's so much cool stuff, great restaurants going on, great just art and culture and museums being built and you know, all kinds of fun stuff that was not there when I was growing up. But I'm sure it was cool while I was growing up too. It's just, you know, it's harder to appreciate.
Yeah, your taste has gotten a little more refined. You know about the good things now.
Or you don't appreciate what's already there. So, you know, who knows? It's hard to tell.
Your parents still live in the same house that you grew up in too, right?
Yes, that's right. As soon as we left, my mom, I mean, it was nice. It was like the bottom floor of our house was always like nice and taken care of, whatever. And the upstairs where the two horrible children lived, they were like, we'll just let that be for a while until they're gone. And now like the whole house is just like, oh, so immaculate. Nice. It's like being in a hotel when I'm home. Yeah. They waited wisely until we were gone to do the whole thing. But yeah, it's really nice. Another reason it's a nice place to visit. It's like, yeah, it's like staying in a really nice B&B.
What's your one rec if someone's going into Atlanta these days? What's your one rec, something they have to do?
Yeah, I mean, again, you'll see this on all the tourism sites, but go to the Beltline area, go to Ponce City Market and go to the Beltline area. And yes, it's a little touristy and yes, it's all that stuff, but still, it's still one of the coolest things going on in Atlanta. It's, you can walk around outside. There's lots of great restaurants and all that fun stuff. Plus, you're right by downtown. You can go and, you know, it's right next to lots of other cool stuff. So that holds. That's it. Go visit Citizen Supply as well. Really cool store in Pond City Market. They are like this really awesome retail store that's all like curated, handmade stuff. They just took like a bunch of cool maker brands that probably couldn't get into any other kind of retail stores, but then they elevated it. So like your experience in that store is the same as any other really high-end retail store, except you're going to find cool stuff that by people you would never find in those stores. So
okay, Citizen Supply. Noted.
Citizen Supply. Check it out.
Noted. Maybe a blog post coming. Yeah. Things to do in Atlanta.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd be into that.
You left Atlanta to go to...
Went to college in Boulder, Colorado.
Of course.
CU Boulder. Yes. That is next. I immediately, as soon as I knew right early on, I was like, when I go, I'm going far. My parents were like, well, around here, are you good? Nope, I'm going.
Did you consider anything far. Close? Or you knew? You knew.
Never seriously. Never seriously. It was either going to be, I don't know why I decided on Colorado earlier than I had any reason to. People would be like, why? And I was like, I don't know.
The mountains are calling.
I don't know. Yeah, but I don't know. Like I'd been there on vacation. My dad lived there for a short time when he was a kid. And so he'd been on a vacation when I was like 10, but I hadn't really been back since. So I don't know. It ended up being the place. Yes, that's where I met my wife and now mother of my child and just best friend, partner, all the good descriptors. So that the joke of back in the 50s or whatever, where it's like, yeah, you go to college to meet your husband or whatever. Like we're like...
Back in the 50s when you were going to school?
How dare you? Yeah, so that's where we... And now, can you hear barking on my side?
We have to acknowledge the dog. Yep. That has to be Kenneth. Kenneth. Okay.
Yep, that's Kenneth. Yeah, so, you know, Cass especially ended up doing nothing to do with her degree. So that's why the joke really tracks with her. And she's like, no, it was a good place to go. That's where you were. Colorado, Boulder. Awesome.
That you know what this is, what's one core memory you have from your time at Boulder?
That makes me think of two, which one just popped into my head, which was... And this is, oh God, prepare for the sap. But it's actually in my freshman dorm room and Cass in the doorway of said room. That just came to me
iconic core memory.
Yeah. And the other one is up on there's a bunch of hiking trails right near campus. The Flatiron Trails is the first Flatiron Trail is like a really popular one. It's like the right distance. You can knock it out in, you know, an hour or two. At the top of that trail, looking down on Boulder, because I saw that scene quite a bit. That stands out.
What did you study at school?
I did a business degree with an emphasis. That's how they did it. An emphasis in marketing. So
pretty,
at least, you know,
applicable relevant. To what yeah. you do today still.
Pretty applicable. That's right. That's right. A little bit of a different landscape, but pretty applicable.
Do you reference any of your college classes? Do you have any college coursework that you pull out of your brain every now and then?
I guess the misunderstanding I think people have, you're learning how to learn, right? And you're learning some of the skills. So I do actually think back. I think the valuable part of that degree really boils down to like three or four classes. And I think if that happens, I think good. I hope you got some cool learning how to learn in a lot of it. And then, but there was, yeah, one class and one professor in particular who was, especially in the business school, they could draw in a lot of like really awesome people because they could be like, hey, this isn't Harvard, but you can live in the mountains and have horses and stuff. Isn't that cool? So they got professors that were kind of out of their league probably. So there was, yeah, Steve Engel was the professor. Anyway, he was like super hardcore and I think teaching us maybe above what would have normally been in an undergrad and in a really good way. So I learned a lot about like moving the fictional version of whatever, the abstract concept of business into like, no, this is real. Like, this is how this works. And so that was valuable. Yeah, that was the part that really stuck.
I wonder if Steve listens to the pod.
Probably.
Semi-confident.
Shout out to Steve Engel. Yeah.
Did you save anything from college? Like, do you save any of your like textbooks or like coursework or like folders of papers or anything?
No way. Especially after... Which we'll get to, especially after like moving abroad. I mean, yeah, right. Yeah, right. I mean, Cass runs a pretty tight. My wife, Cass, she runs a pretty tight ship in terms of, you know,
what we're holding on to.
We're getting, when is the last time you looked at this? It's been 6 months. It's gone. I even have to like go around sometimes and artificially make a show of, ooh, I'm using this. Look at me holding it. Oh, look at me getting, I'm using it. And she's like looking at me like, it lives another day. So anyway, no chance any of that stuff.
Would Cass come to my house and be that for me? I was recently going through a box of old school stuff, and I have some like study guides from an old anatomy class that I remember putting in this box being like, I might need to reference this someday. Don't get rid of it.
So in the version of you that said you might want to reference that, I guess that's you being like, I don't think this internet thing's going to stick around.
Yeah. Right? Well, it's obviously a fad. Like, I mean,
yeah, it's a fad. Yeah. Okay. So the internet's gone. And then you're like, God, I really want to know where the appendix is. And that's, and that's of the book, because the appendix tells you where the liver is, right? That's a, okay, good. Yeah.
Well, ask Cass if she could be that for me.
Okay. Yeah. She will. I mean, the joy she gets in throwing stuff away or giving it away. I mean, you know, but the joy she gets in removing stuff from people's homes, ours or others, it's not to be rivaled. So absolutely.
Okay. So Boulder, we're at Boulder and we're making the next move. Where do we head next?
So then after that, as we were graduating or in our senior year, I convinced Cass that it would be a great idea to graduate and then go overseas somewhere. It hadn't been decided where, but I was like, I really want to go get some experience overseas, want to travel, want to, you know, see stuff, whatever. So anyway, we ended up looked at a bunch of places, and in the end, the most appealing prospect, both in terms of lifestyle and ease of getting there, they had this thing called the working holiday visa and all this stuff. So anyway, we landed on New Zealand, not knowing much about it, but knowing
enough to be dangerous.
Definitely enough at 18, or sorry, 21, to be like, this is a good idea. And yeah, so we got working holiday visas, got rid of all our stuff, traveled back and forth across the U.S. and then, yeah, took off with a one-way tick. Yeah, then landed in New Zealand. And we, by the time we got there, I think after all the plane tickets, blah, 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 I think we had like $500 between us. And we were just like,
This was in the 50s. So current date, that's like $5,000.
Quite a bit of money.
They were fine.
Yeah, it was quite a bit of money.
They immediately bought a house.
That may have sounded wrong. Yeah, I meant that to sound like we were good. Yeah. No.
You had a big briefcase of money.
Yeah. And we got there at the height of the currency, you know, anyway, we got there at the worst time currency exchange wise, and we left at the worst time currency exchange wise. So that's just how it works. But anyway, yeah.
It's about the memories made.
That's right. That's right. Timing's everything.
You were there for a while.
Between 7 and 8, yeah.
Okay.
Seven to 8 years.
What was the best part about living in New Zealand?
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to put a finger on it, but like the overall lifestyle and the culture, the emphasis is on the right stuff. Like people, they're so talented and smart and good. And they, at least all the people I ran into, work hard and are, again, clever and good at stuff and all this. But they're also like, they take their lifestyle and enjoying things very seriously. Like, okay, so everyone has 4 weeks of holiday a year or vacation a year. They take it, and often all at once. And people are like, so you like come December 10th, you're not getting anybody. They're gone, man. Like it's over. And I just don't experience the same thing here. It's like, so anyway, they're even people in like serious positions, you know, you can still maybe get a hold of them, but like they're off at their little batch or whatever, which is like a, you know, generally a kind of simple beach house or whatever. You're not getting in touch with them. They're gone. You can talk to them in 3 weeks. That's how it is. Commerce is closed. And I'm sure there's things to that as far as like, oh, they could be more productive or whatever. But anyway, the dedication to that generally just made for a much nicer feeling. And especially when everyone's doing that, mm-hmm. or everyone is aware that that happens, there's not a lot of like, oh, how about that? You're just going to disappear for it. They're like, yeah, this is what we all do. You might be doing it now. I might be doing it later, but this is what we all do. So that was nice.
I love that. I have a friend that lives in Spain and talks about her work-life balance there and how the month of August is basically just vacation for everyone. Like everyone takes 4 weeks off pretty much.
And if it's agreed, if everyone's doing it, ain't nobody missing anything. So it's fine. I mean, like, if you think globally, sure, that's where I guess it gets complicated. But yeah, it's the best. But it's funny because, like, the term work-life balance, I don't ever remember that being even mentioned. You know what I mean? It's like the need for that term implies the void that it needs. And I can't say that for certain. I can't say for certain that that's not something that people said. I just don't remember it because it didn't seem, it seemed like this isn't as big of a problem. We don't need to name it and then figure out how to solve it because we're pretty good. I'm not saying some people don't like work a lot and blah, blah, blah.
In this work-life balance that didn't exist, what was the work part of it?
Right. Okay. So the first thing I got, I temped at an insurance agency when I first got there, and
just like Adam, Rich too has dabbled in insurance.
Very different situation. I was not slightly above data entry, but basically data entry. And then I was temping there, and that was Cass was temping at Vodafone, which again, you know, kind of like the Verizon Wireless of the UK and New Zealand and Australia or whatever. So the big telecom company. So temp there, but the next thing after that, after a little while, because they ended up offering me a job, but it was too bleak. I mean, it was just too bleak what was going on in that place. I sat next to a woman whose whole job was for people who were uninsured and got into accidents. Her whole job was to figure out how people were going to pay, usually debts that were going to take them the rest of their lives to get out of. And it was mostly bleak and darkly funny at moments, because again, sometimes she was like, telling people that they should maybe purchase less expensive cat food and then they could pay, you know, it was like
dark. It was dark.
So anyway, it was, yeah, I was like, I can't. And it was like, again, when you imagine New Zealand, when people imagine New Zealand, and then if I showed you that this was in New Zealand, you'd be like, no, that can't be. That looks like a terrible office. It was like a poorly lit Dunder Mifflin kind of deal. Ooh. So I needed that when I first
got
there.
Were you the Michael Scott of that office?
I was the...
Creed. You're the Creed.
I was the BC to like get, you know, head down. I got to get out of here. I got to figure out.
No, Rich was the you were, yeah, actually the BJ Novak. You were the Ryan of that office. This young professional.
I didn't even appear on the show. There's people who worked in Dunder Mifflin that we never saw, and I was one of those. So anyway, the next job I got, which was at the New Zealand Herald. You know, this is where I got to apply my marketing degree for the first time, but I was the... At the time there, they hadn't got the memo that the internet was going to destroy most print publication. So there they were, the big New Zealand paper, and they were like, we're untouchable and we're, you know, the big... And it was funny because I joined like right at the moment of the big decline. So it was actually hilarious to watch on the inside. So I was there. I worked at the paper for a year. I managed like some clients who did advertising, or like who advertised in the paper, like... Managed that for a year and watched it eat itself. Like the place just started tearing itself apart from the inside because they were like, it just had a really nasty competitive nature to it, because the management was just like, I don't care, get it done, get the money. So all the teams are just destroying each other just to get, it was, yeah. I mean, honestly, again, because I was like, I'm going to be here for just as long as I need to. And I met lots of cool people and it was fun, but I was always like, I'm going to figure out a way out of here. And so I just got to enjoy the ride and watch this place.
So you didn't really actively give them any tips or
advice. I wasn't like, no, and it wasn't going to be heard anyway. It was a group of management that really, they really did think they were God's gift to all things. So there was no, hey guys, maybe you should pivot because this is kind of like, nah, you know, just like that kind of energy. Just like, ah. A lot of that. So anyway, it was very comical to watch. Met lots of great people. But from there, then I moved on to a small little agency that was actually, it was four people. And I was interviewing to take the place of one of the people who was about to go on maternity leave. And I didn't have enough experience for what they wanted. And I didn't have the agency experience they wanted. They wanted the agency, what they did was what's called ambient and experiential marketing. So they would like take a campaign for a brand or whatever, and they would either do some kind of unique placement in public or some kind of experience.
Give an example. What was the coolest?
Okay. So the example that was maybe the most fun visually to see was for the release of, I think it was Despicable Me 2, we took over the entire city with minions. So we basically had like thousands of little 3D minion figures or whatever, and overnight placed them just everywhere, train stations, ferry stations, public squares, all kind of stuff, so that when everyone came into the city that morning, and this was across the three major cities, everyone just like, there was just minions everywhere.
Incredible.
That kind of stuff. And then we did some other cool stuff. Like we did a virtual tug of war for the launch of The Amazing Race. So there was a season of The Amazing Race that we had an Australian team versus New Zealand team. So we set up this build that was in two public spaces, one in Sydney, one in Auckland. And it had a big tug of war style rope that was attached to a meter that measured force. And then that went into like an LED screen that was facing, it had a feed of a camera on the other end of it. So you're looking, you're a four person team on this side, all holding the rope, pulling on it. That force is being measured. And you're looking at a screen right in front of you that is another four people Incredible. That are in Sydney that are also pulling on a rope. And then there's like a virtual representation of the middle of the rope. And so there's just running.
Who won?
New Zealand won.
They did.
Oh yeah, New Zealand won.
Were you?
Was it rigged? I'll never see. I'll never tell.
Were you pulling on New Zealand side? Like, were you helping out?
Is that a joke? Is that a tug of war joke? Pulling on New Zealand side. Is that what you did there? Because I respect it and I enjoyed it. If it was, yeah, of course, of course,
of course.
It was. We did it. We produced it from our side. Of course. So, yeah, I don't. Yeah, was it rigged? I'll never say. But anyway, that was a fun one. Lots of cool stuff like that. And that was a place, again, that I started at. And I actually ended up being there for the remainder of our time in New Zealand. And like it, yeah, it ended up growing. It got acquired by an outdoor advertising company. So now it's part of a company that has like multiple hundreds of employees, I think. But it at the time, yeah, when I started, there were four of us. So
from humble beginnings. Cool.
From humble beginnings. And shout out to Chris Monahan, who will never hear this, but he was the guy who started that. He started that. He started it out of kind of nothing. And yeah, I mean, he started it with like just not much. It was kind of like he just set out and started touring around media agencies and creative agencies and saying like, hey, we can take your... He started out, he was like, we'll take little shavings of your big budget. So you're spending $3 million on this Coke campaign. Throw us 10 grand and we'll do some fun little side thing or whatever. And that's kind of how it started. And then, yeah, slowly but surely it became more important. And we could get invited into conversations earlier and earlier and then actually like sometimes be, yeah, part of like the discussion of what the creative was going to look like or the whole thing because they wanted to make it more central.
Okay. So that was your last job in New Zealand, right? Like you wouldn't have left probably had you not wanted to move because Cass had finished up school.
Yeah, we almost left another time because Cass decided, she was at Vodafone for a while. Like it was one of those things where, I don't know, it was like that how to succeed in business without trying or whatever. That's kind of Cassie's life. She was like, I couldn't care less. And they kept being like, promotion. And she's like, no, I think this is stupid what we're doing here and I don't care. And they're like, promotion. And like, anyway, she kept just like rising up and up and up. And she eventually was like,
CEO.
I just don't care. Yeah. So she was CEO and she just left one day. No, but she literally was like, Vodafone is the Google of New Zealand. And by that, I mean, wins all the awards, best place to work, coolest offices. She got to like her soccer team went to Fiji to play the Fiji Vodafone soccer team.
What?
Like that just happened. And then they would like some on Friday, sometimes they'd be like, hey guys, take the rest of the day off. There's a like $5,000 bar tab at this place. Just get over there and go nuts or whatever. I mean, it was like, it was crazy.
Oh my God.
And I bring that up to say she had the best possible version of corporate life and she hated it. So she was like, I don't want to do this. I'm glad I did this because I could really see even in the best scenario, I don't like this. So she was like, I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to get a pre-med degree. I'm getting into medicine. That was kind of her decision. And so we almost went back then. And then I went to when I told the company was called Ambient at the time. When I told Chris about that. And he was like, well, what if we got her, you know, she could study here. We'll help with tuition. We'll do tuition stuff here. And again, tuition in New Zealand, correctly, I would say, is much less than here. So it wasn't quite as crazy as it sounds. But they covered tuition for her to go back to school, basically, and get a new undergrad degree.
Which is really
basically a new pre-med degree.
A testament to how great Rich is as an employee, because It's Rich's employer that wants him to stay in New Zealand and is therefore paying for Cass's schooling, right?
Yeah, I'd love to. Well, I hear where you're coming with that. And I think, I mean, we were going in the right direction. I think it would have been tough to, based on just how small the organization was and like the fact that we had between us built up so many relationships, I think it probably would have been, it probably would have been difficult, not impossible to do that. So I think Chris was probably just like, yeah, we'll just pay for some tuition and I won't have to like start all over here, you know, or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, either way, it was a great, incredible thing that they did, but that kept us there. That definitely kept us there longer.
Yeah.
And yeah, got Cass her pre-med degree, which she got for free basically, which is great because obviously more student debt was to come when she went back to PA school, but at least there wasn't debt before the debt to go back to school.
Okay. So you stayed until she got her degree and then you hopped back across the pond.
Well, yeah, we finally made the call after she had that. And then, yeah, the timing just kind of came right. Ambient was about to get acquired. She had finished and she had started looking at like whether she was going to try to go to med school there or whether anyway. So yeah, it was after that, but it was about at that time where it was like crossroads is happening. Because if she had gone to med school there, that would have been like, okay, well, we're probably here for life because it's very difficult to change over a med degree. So that was about the time where I was like, this is done. And then not to all about work, but like, as far as what we got to do in New Zealand or whatever, as far as like, if anyone ever wants to talk about what to do in New Zealand, I am always down for that conversation. But like, while we were there, we got to do, you know, we did skydiving and canyoning and we did like underwater tubing and like underwater cave systems.
Underwater
and
we did tubing? Like,
yeah, there's these caves where you can like, there's glowworms and then like but it's like an underground river system, headlamps and wetsuits and you like tube and you go through all these like crazy rock stuff. You know, we went like, saw whales and we went ice climbing and it is as advertised, even though we spent a lot of time in Auckland, that's where we worked. Yeah, all that stuff is, and because it's not that huge of a place, you can get around, you can do a lot of the stuff. So anyway, this is my Tourism New Zealand plug. Go there, do the things.
This is a blog article waiting to happen.
Oh my God, it's so good. It's so good. We're permanent residents, so we can go back. If anything ever goes real wrong, we can go back any old time.
That's so cool. You are permanently a resident there?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we had to. I mean, we were there for 8 years. Like we only had so many choices. Yeah, that's too long of a story. But there was a pretty funny situation where when I was at the paper at the New Zealand Herald. The Herald, yes. There was a mutual confusion as to whether I could legally work there. Turns out not. Statute of limitations or whatever, no one cares. But anyway, I and the HR manager at the time had to, in conjunction with each other, figure out how to move me from that to another type of working visa. And then while that was going on, we went ahead and applied for residency so that we could avoid all of this. But it was like, oh, you're not allowed to have this job. And therefore, we weren't allowed to hire you because this is a permanent role.
Wait, how long?
That was like 6 months into working there.
Whoa.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where you're like, how could this have happened? Like, no one checked?
What was the HR department doing? Okay. We get back onto a plane and you land in Pittsburgh.
That's right. Yeah. So Cass got into a PA school in Pittsburgh. Neither of us had ever collectively thought about Pittsburgh for more than probably a minute total. I'm talking lifetime. I'd be like, Steelers, where are they from? Pittsburgh. Right. Okay. End of thought. Like that's as far as like I ever thought about Pittsburgh. Yeah. Then we found out we were moving there sight unseen and we're like, okay, I hope it's a good place. I don't know. But
turns out pretty cool place.
Very cool place. Yeah. Yeah. So we went there. I was basically on my own for 2 years while Cass was in the most intense PA program. I'm convinced, until proved otherwise, the most intense PA program in the world. Shout out to Chatham. They were miserable while they were going through it, but as far as I can tell, some of the best PAs that are out there. So shout out to Chatham. But anyway, yeah, very cool town. Underrated, lots of cool food, lots of great breweries, awesome record stores. Shout out to the Government Center, which is a confusingly named record store on the north side.
Sticker on my fridge.
Sticker on, yep. Lo has records from there. I have many records from there. Josh Cosby, best record store owner in the world. But anyway, cool town, very cool town. Lots of cool stuff going on there. underrated summers, best summer, like perfect temperature, no bugs, by the river. I mean, just a great place. A great
very hangout. Underrated summer. I would never think about going there in the summer. Noted.
Yes. So we were there for a bit. Cass finished school. I was working for some a digital agency there, and then went out on my own during during that time. We're laughing because last recording I went on for way too long about what that agency did, as if anyone cared about the nuance of it. But anyway, while there, that is, I ended up starting to kind of go out on my own a little bit. I was working with going more on a freelance path a little bit, because that was when I started talking to my cousin and brother about starting the company that would become Deep Cut, which is the company that the three of us own, handmade record shelving and other similar kind of stuff. But so while there,
a beautiful new website. Go check it out.
Deepcut.com. CO. Deepcut.co.
Deepcut.co.
CO. .co. Which is funny. One time someone goes, oh, are you guys in Colombia? And I was like, no, man. .coms are over. Like, you don't have to be where the thing says. Anyway, so anyway, while
did
we were talking about that
customer.
they were trying to sell us something. But anyways, the reason that came to be, short story, we got our corgi puppy Kenneth, who you heard before, while in Pittsburgh. At the time, record collection on a repurposed just set of shelves that were sitting on the ground, came home one day and horror music playing, and I see the ground, paper shards all over the place. Yeah, he'd gotten into the records, and my heart broke and it screamed, and I was all of a sudden a priority for me moved to, I want nice record shelving. I want it on the wall up high away from this dog and just generally just so it's up. So anyway, that was where the whole impetus of the thing. So I called Robbie, who is a woodworker, and I was like, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I want it to be, whatever. That was the beginning of it. Started talking to Clark. We said like other people started wanting them. So we started building them and selling them online. And that's how Deep Cut came to be. And that is actually when, in the process of that, around that time is when Cass's grandfather passed away, Grandpa Tom. We went to the Celebration of Life in Wisconsin, Neenah, Wisconsin, where Grandpa Tom lived. And it was at this Celebration of Life that I met Jess and Adam, because I don't even think I had known of these people. I must have maybe some, but anyway, Adam is actually Cass's cousin, but they were, I would say, estranged is a fair term. Maybe not fully, but I don't think they'd spoken in a decade maybe, or
okay.
Yeah, it had been a long time. So I had no familiarity with them whatsoever, but at this Celebration of Life, I was the only person, oh no, of one of two people in like fully suited and booted to the nines at, I want to be very clear, Cass's direction. Yep. And
sure.
Yep. Whatever, didn't even ask, said, okay, you got it. Again, just to note, it was me in a suit and it was Grandpa Tom's 75-year-old Chinese business partner, only two people in a suit. He had flown from China to attend this. I, the other person in the suit, just peas in a pod. And so when we got there, and Cass had just nailed it, because she had a getup that worked in a formal setting, but also worked in a kind of breezy, because it was summer, it was on the river. You know, their house, the Grandpa Tom's house, was on the Fox River. It was like a nice outdoor casual Celebration of Life,
yep.
Which everyone summer, else got yeah. the memo. Yep. Anyway, Cass's yep. outfit worked in either setting. Very shrewd, very smart.
That's amazing.
So just me.
I can pick. It's like playing out in my head like a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, you're picturing it right. And so when I got there, I don't know, as soon as I got there, you know how Adam is, the energy of Adam, something drew me over. Anyway, I immediately started talking to him and Justin as well, and Adam's brother. And you know, he's just smiling and laughing. He's like, all right, suit it up. You know, like just immediately. And we immediately talk about how absurd that was. And then had a running joke throughout the day as my, you know, the tie loosens, the buttons, you know, it's all just deconstructing over time, you know, as it goes. So anyway, that's where I met Adam immediately. And I only talked to, I think I only like was introduced to Jess quickly, I think, kind of when they left. So I didn't even get to really talk to Jess while there, but I had had great discussion with Adam and had heard, I talked to him a little bit about it, but more had been told they've started this cool jewelry brand. It's really taken off. They've, you know, it's online sales or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's amazing, because I'm, you know, I'm trying to get Deep Cut. I'm trying to figure out the best thing to do with Deep Cut. I was at that point where I was like, what kind of, you know, where do we want to, what do we want to build our site on? And what should we do about this? And so, of course, I don't know who gave me their info, but I asked and I just reached out and I said, hey, listen, I'm trying to launch this thing. I know you guys are doing, I'd since looked and I saw, you know, Hello Dorn, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. And I was like, I just have lots of questions. Like, you know, if you guys would be open to just answering some stuff, I would love it or whatever. And you know how, of course, Adam and Jess are like, absolutely.
So willing.
Yeah. Whether they had the time or not, I never would have known, because they were just like, of course, all the time you need, whatever you want to ask, let's talk about. So anyway, they just so generously answered all of my probably many stupid questions in many cases. It's not like I've been doing this, helping with customers, like with online marketing and like websites and whatever for a long time, but I hadn't done it for myself, and I hadn't done it where I was actually the one paying for it and all that kind of stuff. So I just, they were so helpful in so many of those things. And on that call, I just talked about, well, listen, like if you guys ever want help with Google Ads or whatever, because like I do that for, you know, I'd love to help just because, you know, you guys have been so generous. So I think, yeah, they kind of sat on it. Anyway, they eventually were like, yeah, you know what? We've never even thought about that. Don't know anything about it. Would be interested to see what that would look like or whatever. Anyway, so fast forward, I started doing that with them. And then they were like, hey, this has been great, because we're actually getting some more visibility as to what's going on and some stuff we haven't really dug into before. Can we start having regular calls and you can like tell us what's going on or whatever? So got more into the analytics side. And then, yeah, just kind of snowballed from there and just started doing more and more with them. And then Kimmy came into the picture maybe a year later. Like Kimmy had already been doing design and stuff like on an ad hoc basis, but then she had gone out on her own. She got kind of brought into the fold. And then, yeah, it was now the four of us like doing all kinds of stuff and like deciding to, you know, build a new website and like just all kinds of stuff. So now, yeah, doing all kinds of stuff and kind of moving away from other client stuff. And now pretty much I focus on Hello Adorn and Deep Cut, and Kimmy focuses on, as you heard in Kimmy's episode, and if you didn't, go back and listen, but Hello Adorn and Ski Like a Girl. And yeah, and just watching this thing. Yeah, just watch how it's evolved since then has been truly nuts.
Kind of wild.
And like, yeah, in the most wonderful way. Cause like, yeah, I mean, I could tell right away, like I said, right from when I met Adam, and like, I didn't get to talk to Jess much at the Celebration of Life, but she as well, as soon as she has an aura, as she came in, her look was just right. Like the whole thing, you were like, wow, these
good
people,
energy.
Yeah. They glow. You could just tell. And yeah. So anyway, all that ended up being totally correct. And then, so just, you know, working with him more and more, I was just like, this is how it's supposed to feel. You know what I mean? And like, it just, every time Hello Adorn hires someone or whatever and has no trouble whatsoever, even when people are like, oh, no one wants to work anymore, it's like, oh yeah, why is our inbox full of people who want to, you know, start here? And the reason, obviously, it's just such a, yeah, they've built a beautiful place. And now Lo is part of why it's such a beautiful place, but it's all an extension of, you know, what they've manifested and built out. So yeah, it was a grateful coincidence. And then we always joke, because Grandpa Tom, Adam and Cass's Grandpa Tom was like a big deal in the paper industry, has like did a lot of patents and did a lot of cool stuff or whatever. So business guy. And so we'd always talk about like, boy, what a thing he would have enjoyed to hear is like, oh, a good business connection happened at my Celebration of Life. Good. You should be businessing. I don't blah, blah, blah. He was a good man. Blah, blah, blah. No, get some business going. So
business.
Anyway,
I'm sure he was the type that wore suits to Celebrations of Life.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. If probably left after a half an hour, because it's time to get back to the businessing.
But business. Yeah.
It's the business.
Only
time.
Can just quick lunch. Oh my goodness. What a guy. What's your favorite part about working at Hello Adorn as of today?
Oh, yeah. Hard to narrow, but like, even though I don't get to be among the people, because we ask this to everybody, right? And they always say, the people. And you're like, okay. But you're also like, okay, fair.
Yeah.
Okay, fair. But Yeah, I mean, even, I don't know. Yeah, it is, it's the people, but it's also like the style of, that everyone's like, we're all trying to serve the same kind of mission and no one's holding on to anything too tightly. It's just like the way it's supposed to feel. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Things are celebrated well. The people, like, people love what they're doing and they're excited about it. And like, you can just feel it at every level. And like, it makes you care about it. It makes you want it to work well. You get to see, because of how interactive the audience of Hello Dorn is, like, you get to see what people are loving about it, whether it's like the reviews or what's happening on social or whatever. Like, it's, you just get to see, man, people are really into this. You can keep doing more of it. And you just know, like, it's great. So it feels good inside. It feels good outside.
Well, Rich, we're so happy you're here. I can't imagine Hello Dorn without you. You've become a big part of the team. And yeah, like I said, when we're stumped, the question we ask is often, what would Rich do? Or it's not even a question. It's a, let's just ask Rich. He'll figure it out.
Yeah. And I often provide unsatisfactory or unsatisfying, more likely, answers. But Jerry, can we do this? And I'm like, well, not really, or not in that way. Or here's why we
shouldn't. But here's
shouldn't.
Why you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
There's, yeah, a, it's not a, there's, it's a not lot a of, no, it's a,
theoretically,
no,
we could. It's a no and. Yeah, I'm a big believer in improv games that are no and. Yeah, I do often have to break bad news, but sometimes not. And those are fun days when we don't have to do bad news.
Did you see the new Lowe's Carbs question for today? This week's question.
Yeah.
So in honor of Walk-In Wednesdays, the tattoo shop down the road, Wintership, they have every Wednesday you can walk in and put your name on a list to get a tattoo, and then they'll call you if they're able to squeeze you in. And apparently it's very popular. There were 44 people on the list last week. So
wow.
Business
wow.
is booming on Walk-In Wednesdays.
Okay.
But
all right.
A lot of us have been talking about walking in on a Wednesday. And the question today is, what is the tattoo you would get if you were walking in on a Wednesday?
Right. And I think this has been maybe covered in the past, but I am the only, me and Trey are the only untattooed. Is that right?
Yeah.
Of the whole bunch?
Wow, that's pretty crazy. Yeah.
That is crazy. Because
no,
there's
just me. Three of you. Three.
Oh,
of you.
Okay.
Right. And maybe Stephanie. Maybe Stephanie B too. There might be a couple of you.
So anyway, I guess what I have witnessed is that once you get your first tattoo, you care less about your second, or not care less, but as in like, it's a less big deal each time. And eventually you're just like, there's a casualness to it, which I envy. I mean, you're just like, yeah, whatever. It's just another one. So I don't have to think too hard about it. Whereas your first one, I feel like maybe you think about
kind of a big
too
deal.
Much. Yeah. If you're going to get one at all. And I have always been interested in, but I have never been able to settle on something that I can convince myself that I'm going to enjoy it now, and that I'm going to also agree with future me and say, good job, good idea, I like that. Anyway, I guess my only answer to this is, and it's a little dark, but I just have to be honest, but
I'm so intrigued.
I had one of my best friends passed away when we were like 20 years old. We both were really, really, really into the band 311 at the time. And I still have much respect for, because of what it meant to me in my childhood. So put your judgments away, people. Okay. It's still a fun show. All right. Check it out. But anyway, or don't, that's fine. But he designed a 311 logo. It was like a minimalist kind of logo. And that was the only thing I ever considered, because not because of the band part. That was the part where I was like, who knows what you're going to think of this? But the part was that he designed it and then passed away. And so it was going to be more of a thing to him. But what would you do if you did Walk In Wednesday?
I thought that I would get an olive.
Okay. A blolive?
A blolive. Well, no, probably not a black olive. Probably a green olive. I think I would get a grolive.
Like a martini grolive?
Well, I think a martini might be like two on the nose, like the glass. So okay. It would just be the olive and maybe like the skewer that the olive is on.
Okay. I like that. That's cool.
Rich, you're missing some good things at HQ today, but you're going to be here tomorrow.
I know. I mean, yeah, unlike last time when my flight was canceled three times because of snow. Can't happen again in May, surely, right? Surely.
No snow.
Yeah. So
no snow.
Hopefully, fingers crossed, a successful arrival tomorrow.
We have a workout with Jeff Rogers tonight, which we're
excited
about.
Oh, yeah, that's tonight. Okay.
We've got 30-minute workout during the workday, which Adam coordinated and we're stoked about. We're bowling tomorrow. We've got a little bowling team. It's a Big Brothers Big Sisters fundraiser. Rich is bowling.
Which I think I signed up correctly. It's been a long time. If I can keep it out of the gutter most of the time, I'm going to be happy.
Super excited. This is our May kind of like focus is Big Brothers Big Sisters. The proceeds from, or 10% of the proceeds from the first Friday of the month at 1.0 went to Big Brothers Big Sisters in the Chippewa Valley, which is just a great organization that devotes time to mentoring the youths of the area.
They need it. You got to give them the mentoring.
They need it. They need it. And then we've got a unisex collection launching next week, which
exciting.
By the time this episode is released, you can shop it on our site. Go check it out. I had Matthew, Danny, our content creator, her husband was in last night doing a little modeling.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. I was like, oh, where did we find this gentleman? But that looked like a great shoot.
Where'd we find, in Danny's words, this hottie? She is the ultimate hype person for her husband. It was a very fun photo shoot. Adam's photo shoot today. And then Rich, you might need to model a couple things. We might have Trav model a couple things. We also might have Trey model a couple things. So
I
bring your best.
Very gladly am going to say I really doubt that there's time for that while I'm there. Really doubt it. So sorry to miss that one, but I think you guys are going to be fine. But that is exciting. I mean, this is a big breakaway. I mean, this first time to anything that's been, made with male and female in mind, or anywhere in between.
Non-binary. Non-binary.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, we're really excited to see how that goes. But I think, it's awesome. I think it's a great time to do it.
Rich, I need to hear the things you're vibing with right now.
Okay, five things vibing with. All right, so the first, the ice on our lake just melted not that long ago, okay? So I finally have been able to do, as Lo knows, we live in the deep north, very close to Canada, and winter is no joke up here. And we love that. We lean into it hard. But part of our strategy this year was we got a wood-burning sauna, and it has changed our lives. So loving that. But along the way, I was really hoping, I hadn't figured out a great way to do it. I wanted to do the plunge in sauna thing. Anyway, now that the lake has melted and is still pretty cold, doing plunges and sauna has been awesome and painful and shocking and amazing. Anyway, okay, but second thing, and couldn't be more obvious, but Atlas, our son Atlas, who is now 18 months old, I'm of course vibing with everything he's doing that's just how we are. But you can't avoid the nauseating enthusiasm of a parent and what's happening with their child. But he is saying hi to everything, and it is just so cute. Especially he started noticing the moon when the moon comes out in like the afternoon, which happens here up in the northern nowhere. And he'll look up and he'll point at it, and we will confirm and we'll say, yes, that's the moon. And he will say, hi, and then he will move on. And then he will notice it again in about 2 minutes, and he will point and we will say, it's the moon. And he will say, hi, but he'll say hi to trees and he'll say hi to just everything. But third thing, iced coffee. My latest recipe is we're an espresso family around here, as is not unfamiliar in the Hello Adorn circle, but we've got our Breville espresso game going on, which we got addicted to espresso culture in New Zealand and have not given it up since we came back, even though we live in a place where people are like, what? Anyway, the iced coffee drink of choice right now is 3 shots of espresso. That's right. That, splash of whole milk, little bit of maple syrup, and the kicker is the cocoa butter chip that you go in and you stir into the hot. So just the espresso, stir in the, it looks like a big chocolate chip, but it's cocoa butter. You get that. It's got like a deeper kind of creamy sort of sensation to it.
Yum.
A little bit of milk. Anyway, so that's the move. I put that all in the original thing, do a vicious stir until it's like really, really cold, then pour it over fresh ice, and it's the business. Anyway, moving on. Other thing, the records, too predictable, but there are some recent records that I've got, which are a Big Thief record that actually Lo put on my radar that had come out, because I didn't realize that that had come out. A John Batiste record that Lo and I are both vibing with big time.
That Rich put on my radar.
Yes, and that we've been listening to a lot, me on vinyl and Lo still on streaming, I suppose. But anyway, that's okay. As long as it's being listened to. And then just New Orleans music in general that I'm in a rabbit hole on and acquiring lots of right now. And then other one, which this kind of folds in on itself, but podcast production. So the joy of recording these with Lo and the joy of getting the promo snippets and like pre-editing and doing the notes. I'm just enjoying a lot of it.
It's a joyous process.
It's a joyous process. Probably more than you guys are enjoying hearing it. And that's okay. And then because we're on the podcast and talking about the podcast, maybe that's a little bit no-go. So my alternative to that one is interior design. I've been stumbling on a lot of great interior designers lately on Instagram, particularly mainly because we're writing a bunch of pieces about that for Deep Cut and like setting up your record setup and how to make it like attractive and but with usability in mind and how to like have your space just right for it and working with the space you got. But anyway, from that, I'm watching all these interior designers and I'm just learning so much because I wouldn't say I have a natural design talent, but I'm rapidly consuming and I'm just trying to learn a lot. And I feel like I am learning a lot, but I'm enjoying the process, which is
okay. Great. You're selling yourself very short from the aesthetic snippets I've caught of you're in Cass's home. I feel like you guys have that under control.
Well, Cass has a bit more, I don't want it like eye rolling in the traditional that, yeah, she does all the thing. I'm just here. You know, I don't care for that model. I am learning. And I have learned a lot and I do have a better sense of what my taste and aesthetic is, but I have to give Cass most of the credit for what looks great about our house, aside from the fact that every single room has Deep Cut shelving in it, which again, because she, you know, we've worked together on it and because she knows what she's doing, looks great.
Okay, Rich, I'm sure we're all dying to hear that, like the jewelry you're vibing with right now, but we know obviously after what you just said, Cass really is the one that has the knack. So please tell us.
Yes.
What is the jewelry that Cass is feeling right now?
And Cass can rebuttal this when she does come on the pod. But this is what I've witnessed. Newest to the collection, the wildflower necklace for Mother's Day with two flowers, one for our son, Atlas, and one for her original first son, Kenneth. Yep. There was much debate as to go with one or two. But so she's got that. That's the newest collection, which she loves, especially because of what they symbolize. Eclipse studs. Those are the everyday wear right now.
She loves them?
Loves them.
Silver or gold? Silver? Silver.
Oh my God, why can't I remember this? I see them every day. As soon as you asked that, when you said silver, I saw them in silver. And when you said gold, I saw them in gold. So silver. They're silver.
Silver. Is the wildflower, did she get wildflower in silver?
I got that in gold.
Gold. Okay.
Whether I should have or not, I don't know.
She does mix famously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very famously. Tiny horseshoes being another one that, again, the eclipse studs are kind of taking the spot right now, but tiny horseshoes were, again, what occupied that most, a favorite threader. So those were super common. Dandelion Puff and Pip, which was the last year Mother's Day thing that, again, she adores because of what it symbolizes, the Pip being representative of Atlas as well. And then... oh, the other piece, which this is where it pays to know Jess, but for one of our anniversaries, I got Jess to make a custom disc, which was an outline from the photo from our engagement, which was a one knee. We're on top of this cool volcano that we hiked to the top of in New Zealand and blah, blah, blah. And then so turn that into an outline. Jess got that done as a stamp. She stamped the disc. And so, yeah, it's a custom Hello Adorn piece that has like the picture from our engagement. So I'm throwing on there.
Okay, Rich, tell us what's a piece on the site that no one loves more than you. My piece for the longest time, it's no longer available, but Paperclip Coin Lariat was my baby.
That was your girl.
Okay. I fought for it for as long as I could and it's no more. What is the piece that you fight for, you love?
I mean, ready for predictability, which is the Atlas choker and Atlas bracelet, which were gone and then returned. And those pieces, and I'm still not 100% sure, they were either named after Jess's car at the time, which was a VW Atlas, or after my son, Atlas. And I'm going to choose to believe my son, Atlas. So therefore, of course, I'm a big fan. I love how they look, but I'm a big fan of the name.
I can say with 100% certainty that it was named after car. Atlas the son, not okay. Atlas the car.
Yeah, I know that to be true, but when I first saw that, I was like, oh, I would have thought that would have been brought up if that was the case. So maybe it's just because, I guess third option would be the original mythological character that is Atlas holding. But obviously it's either the car or my son. Come on.
You're saying we like didn't ask for permission when we named a piece of jewelry after your son?
No, I just thought it would.
Sorry.
Just thought it would have come up in conversation, for example. No, but anyway,
no, we thought, honored to have better
it.
Way,
yeah, honored to have
what
it.
What better way than for you just to be shopping the site and stumble upon.
That's right.
The Atlas bracelet slash necklace.
Yeah.
Well, Rich, I feel like I've learned so much, and I've learned so much again. The re-record, I feel like I caught more details of your life that I hadn't already caught. So I feel like I really know.
The only thing that can mean is that you didn't listen in the first time. And I, if that is the case, you are correct. That was a good choice because that obviously had more information in it.
Okay, Rich, our parting question today, if you could only wear one color for the rest of your life, what would it be and why? We're not going to ask the why. Just on the count, we're going to count down from three, and we're going to say what color we would wear for the rest of our lives.
Okay. Ready?
Okay. Yep.
Three, two,
one.
Blue.
Chartreuse. And with that, we thank you for making it to the end of the episode.
We really thank you.
We couldn't do it without you, team. Go give us a 5-star review, please.
Please, please. Despite what you just heard. Yeah. All right. Traditional sign off.
We had so much fun, and now we're saying goodbye.
Bye. That was jewelry and stuff. Don't forget to follow and turn on push notifications and set to auto download.
If you liked what you just heard, be sure to leave us a 5-star review.
Yeah, and say something interesting in the review. Don't just talk about the show. Say something fun because we may read it on a future episode.
Yeah, maybe say your favorite moment from the pod, your favorite piece of Hello Adorned jewelry, the best meal you can buy from a fast food restaurant, the recommended cell phone provider in your area, a preferred seed to plant in the spring. Maybe the best indie rock album to listen to on Flag Day? Whatever you got, send it our way. Include it in the review. You might hear it right here.
Until next time.